Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We are back here on Rutherford Issues from News Radio, WGNS, and we are powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. You know, Sharing Change has donated $11 million, that's right, $11 million to local nonprofits assisting worthy causes right here in our community. You can find out more about Sharing Change online at sharingchange.org. That's sharingchange.org. We're going to talk about the Beasley Animal Foundation and Clinic this morning. The executive director, Dawn Roberts, joins us in studio. We were just talking about MTE, weren't we?
Yes, we were. Good morning.
Good morning. Great community partners, them and many more included in all that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Rutherford County is definitely blessed with a lot of partners that join causes that are helping the community every day.
Well, it feels like fall just a little bit.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but it makes me think fall, and then every Friday, Saturday, Sunday is about full in September and October, right up almost till Thanksgiving.
Right, yeah. Before you know it, it's going to be Thanksgiving, and then 2026.
Oh, I don't know that I'm ready for that.
No, this year's gone by really fast.
Too fast.
Yes.
It's too fast.
Yes.
But it just seems like yesterday we were celebrating Barks and Bourbon. Have you ever said Berks and Barbin? Anyway.
I know.
But it's coming up. I am excited.
Yeah. So it is September 25th, Thursday, September 25th. We'll have, as always, some various distilleries out there to chat with you, to share samples of their products and everything. Good food, live music, and we're just kind of shaking it up a little bit this year just to bring something new. There'll be a bourbon passport, so you can kind of follow along, make sure you go and visit every booth and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. And tickets are on sale now. You can go to our website or our Facebook page, and there'll be a link there.
Yeah, and I'll put a link on our podcast here when we're finished. 5 years, huh?
Yes. Yes.
So that was...
It was the first one was 2019.
Okay.
So, and then we had, we were off a few years for COVID. Yeah. So it's at the beautiful Bell Meadows Farm, and they're very gracious hosts. So,
you know, as much as it takes to put on an event like this and all of that, at least we have, I think we're as further away we get from it, the more maybe we forget. But, you know, that couple of years we had to change things and all of that, it kind of makes you appreciate being able to do an event.
Exactly. Yeah. Things have changed dramatically. This is our second biggest fundraiser of the year. So, you know, it's important that, you know, people come out and support us to help us do what we do and keep our prices affordable and even provide, you know, financial assistance for our pets to get spay and neutered. So
this all goes to, of course, the programs of the Beasley Animal Foundation.
Yes, it does.
So tickets on sale now, and if you're thinking, I don't know where Bell Meadows Farm is, it's Las Casas, but it's like very early on
right.
in the Las Casas
yes.
area.
Yeah, it's doesn't take any time to get there,
If I remember right, you turn off Compton Road if you want to go that way, and...
It's right off.
It's very close.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're like me and you turn off on the wrong road and then get lost. But, you know, it's pretty country out there.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And it's a beautiful facility. And it's just a great venue to have something like fun and unique and kind of just casual event like Barks and Bourbon.
So,
and you can bring your pups.
Yes. And there are a few that do that.
Yes, absolutely.
Several that do.
Yeah.
And I even saw a horse there last time I went. So.
Yeah. They have horses there, I believe. Yeah. They board horses there or something. Or have their own horses or cows or...
Yeah, I told my daughter that there was a horse there, and she says, "Oh, send me a picture." And so I back up to the horse and take a photo, and then he starts nibbling at my shirt.
Oh, I think you told me that story. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. My daughter got a kick out of it anyway, because apparently I turned around and I said, "No, sir," and pointed at him like he was a child.
I'm sure he knew what you were saying. It
brought back memories for her, I guess.
Yeah.
But tell me a little bit, and there... you know, I'm so surprised at the number of people that come in brand new to our community each and every day. And they may be saying, you know, sounds like a fun event, but I'm not that familiar with Beasley Animal Foundation and Clinic. So when you're at a mixer or whatever you're doing and somebody says, what do you do? And you tell them, then they say, well, what is that? What do you tell folks?
So we are we focus on responsible pet ownership and then, of course, reducing the suffering caused by overpopulation. So we've got Beasley Animal Clinic as our biggest program where we do affordable spay and neuter surgeries as well as preventative well care. And some of those are subsidized by grants and donations by individuals and organizations and things like that. You know, if somebody can't afford, you know, the surgery, we're able to provide funding for that. We're open to everybody, not by zip code. We have a community outreach program which provides free vaccines to our senior citizens, those facing homelessness, and other ones that, you know, just need a little help for that period. Food outreach, we provide dog and cat food to various organizations, and we now have a 24-hour food little box in front of our building along with our microchip scanner. So it's just, we just want to keep families together, so if pets get lost, they can come and scan it and get it back to the owner. And then we educate. Education is key in responsible pet ownership. There's a lot of, we get people that, this is my first dog, this is my first cat, and just trying to keep everyone healthy and happy and the families together. And then our newest program is Oliver Pet Assistance Fund, which pays for vet care at a full service vet for urgent situations where we don't treat, that they can stay, they don't have to surrender for economic euthanasia or surrender it to the pound or something like that, because they can't afford that, the cost.
Now, that fund, I guess it's kind of a, it's not separate, but I mean, if you want to give to just the Oliver.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, there's assistance. We have a webpage, a page on our website that is strictly kind of explains the Oliver Pet Assistance Funds. There's a separate giving link, and those would stay exactly with those situations. I mean, we've done heartworm treatments, we've done amputations, we've done a lot of dental extractions, and TCL repairs and things like that, because, you know, if you have a pet, there's gonna be something that happens eventually, unfortunately. And, you know, we don't want, you know, no matter who it is, and it's, of course, it's based on income based, we do try to help those that have the lower income and just have less financial resources, because, you know, we have limited funding for that, but that way they can get the care for their pet and they can stay in the home.
It's awesome. Named after the former executive director, Amanda Oliver, who she had a passion and worked with a passion with Beasley right up into her really untimely death.
Yeah.
And so a great way to honor her.
Yes.
So that's and you can search Beasley Animal Foundation, Beasley Animal Clinic, BEESLEY too, by the way. And we'll put links to that on our podcast as well. And, you know, you always bring some nice insight to us. And keeping our pets safe is always very, well, they're like kids.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's a lifelong commitment.
They get into everything.
Yes.
I look over and I see some strings hanging out of my little dog puppy's mouth. He's not a puppy anymore, but he still is.
Oh, yeah.
He's a nutcase. But, and it's like, well, what is that?
Right.
This time,
yes.
You know?
Absolutely. I have one just like it.
Yeah.
Yes. You cannot turn your back for 1 second.
So you have to definitely be on all the time.
Yes. Absolutely.
Like having a toddler.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yep. If there's too quiet, you know they're into something.
Uh-huh. Yes. Or when they trot back to the bedroom and I'm not back there, it's like, you're up to something.
Yes.
I just know it.
Yes.
So, but, you know, obviously long-term hospitalizations could happen, illness, accidents, things like that. And so you're going to pass along some tips on making sure that our pets are protected from stuff like that, right?
What I wanted to talk about was what, you know how hard it is when you lose a pet. But when you don't outlive your pet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In fact, today we have a patient that their dad has passed away, and he is, you can, he is struggling. He's very stressed. His whole world has changed. So, you know, as part of being a responsible pet owner, if you have pets, you need to plan for what's going to happen to them if something should happen to you, whether you pass away or you become, you have to go away to a home or whatever. Expect, you know, anything can happen on a daily basis.
Sure.
So, you know, it's always best to make sure that you've got a plan in place that takes care of these animals, because, you know, I see it, you know, all the time that, you know, you can't always depend that your children are going to be able to welcome your pet into their home for one reason or another. And if you don't have children, like me and my husband, we have to ensure that whatever happens, when something happens to us, that our pets are taken care of. So, you know, identify a trusted caregiver is one of them. Just make, you know, you have to have, I'm sure everyone has that special person that knows that how much you value your animals. Ask them to say, hey, you know, if something happens to me, can you please, you know, take care of my pets for me. You know, give a pet care directive, which gives you a write down every single thing that you do on a daily basis, what your pet needs, medications, vet offices, things like that. You know, put your pet in a will. Make sure and have a plan or a trust that says, okay, when something happens to me, appoint somebody or things like that to take care of your pet. It's pet alert card. This is, we did give these away. It's a, I, you know, put it in your wallet. I have pets. If, you know, car accident, say I've got four pets at home, please go check on them or something. And here's emergency contact or things like that. So, you know, you just never know what'll happen. 24 seems crazy driving down 24.
There was a story yesterday. I don't know if you saw it in Laverne.
Yes. I'm like, and I drive that every day. I'm like, oh my goodness. So,
it's,
you know,
crazy.
Yeah. So you just, I mean, people get pets thinking, oh, I'm going to outlive them. And I mean, a bird can live to be 100 years old. A turtle can live to be 100 years old. So, I mean, you really do have to kind of think about what you want to do. Emergency pet care instructions at home. You just have it accessible so that if somebody does enter your home, they know what you need to do. You know, and then, you know, if you do have to be hospitalized for a certain period of time, is there somebody that can take care of your pet? And take them and stuff like that. So, you know, there's an organization, secondchanceforpets.org, that kind of outlines these different things, and they have tools and resources to help pet parents kind of think, okay, what do I need to do? Help put some of these things in place. So you'd hate for somebody, you know, shelters are full, rescues are full. So what's going to happen to that pet if they have no place to go?
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. I was thinking from the pet perspective, and it was from the pet perspective, but honestly, it's to, for us to ensure that our pets have a safe future if we are not in the picture or can't be for, you know, any certain amount of time. You know, there's some long-term care programs out there with ASPCA as well, you were saying. And very, very important to have accessible health records and all of the vaccinations up to date. Right.
Yes, yes. Because if you need to suddenly just board them, why your caregiver or the trusted guardian or whatever has to board them temporarily, then that is one thing they don't have to worry about. You know, your pets are up to date and for boarding and things like that. I think I found this on Second Chance for Pets is the animal care panel. And that is something that you can, it's a legal situation, but it allows your pet to stay in the home. It signs up a caregiver, you know, an estate planner, an attorney, and things like that. They work together to kind of make up a document or a plan that allows your pet to stay in the home with the proper care and funding and things like that, so that, you know, there is no question that if something was happened, that there's no place for the pet to go.
And
so,
I think that's the biggest thing that upsets our animals when they're not where they, that's what they know and all they've known.
Absolutely. Yeah. This poor little guy today, I mean, you can tell he's super stressed, and, you know, it's very sad because they love us and they know when something has changed. So it's been a big adjustment for him.
And, you know, even if, you know, like we go on a vacation and, you know, doggy daycare and that kind of thing, there's fun aspects to that, but they still are a little bit apprehensive and very excited to get home, and then it's like they sleep for 2 days,
right?
Because I mean, that exhaustion and that
constant interaction. Yeah. I don't know. My dog loves it, so I think he'd live there if he could. Yeah.
I guess that's a good way to look at it too. So,
but yeah. I mean, it's constant interaction and it's different routine than at home and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it's a new change of environment. And you know, when they expect to see you walk through the door and it's been 3 days and they haven't seen you walk through the door, you know, they can sense it and they can feel it.
Well, I have jokingly said to my kids that I'm leaving everything to the dogs in the will.
Yeah.
But you know, it just makes you think when we talk about, I mean, it's a serious subject, even though I was, you know, tongue in cheek joking, but right. I mean, it is yeah. Something to consider.
Right. I mean, you know, Beasley's focused about cats and dogs, but there's so many, like horses, like me, I've got horses. I mean, though, that is a much bigger issue you have to worry about is stuff. So, I mean, it's for whatever pet, like I said, birds can live forever. So, you know, and I don't think everyone thinks about birds all the time. So.
True. Well, as always, it was fun having you in, Dawn, and, come by anytime. I don't know. We may or may not have a chance to talk about Barks and Bourbon again. I can't remember what our next date is. Maybe right before the event.
It might be. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably is.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll see you then.
Okay. Thanks.
Dawn Roberts joining us from the Beasley Animal Foundation and Clinic. Everything we talked about, we'll have the podcast up, WGNSradio.com. So be sure to check it out there.